the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing some praises to our awesome God.
My sins are all forgiven. I'm on my way. Jesus sure makes your heart feel happy. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Master! Master, wake up! Master, wake up! Wake up!
Huh?
Master, the Israelite leaders, all of them are here. They want you.
Send them away. It's too early for me. What? They want me? At this hour? What for?
They have a prisoner with them. They want you to sign his death sentence.
Tell them to come back later.
Master, this sentence has to be signed immediately. Something to do with a religious festivity starting today.
Oh, well. I need their support now that Tiberius is against me. Hand me my clothes. I'll deal harshly with the prisoner. It must be someone they hate and want punished quickly. All right, I'll accommodate them.
His Honor, Governor Pilate enters.
Oh, revolting hour to get up. These stupid Israelites better have a good reason for this, or I'll, So this is the prisoner. He doesn't look like a criminal to me. Looks more like a nobleman or a king. Calm, dignified bearing. Criminals show their guilt. This man shows no guilt, fear, or defiance. These crafty Israelite leaders are up to some of their shady tricks. What's the prisoner's name?
Jesus of Nazareth, Your Honor.
Heard of him. Wife's told me some of the wonderful things this man has done. Cured the sick, raised the dead. Raised the dead? That takes superhuman power. Well, these elders and Pharisees think they'll use me, but they'll not. Not this time. I'll demand that they file definite charges against him and prove them. Scribe, ask his accusers to come before me.
Your Honor forgets that they will not enter a Gentile's place for fear of defiling themselves.
Now, one of their silly religious laws. All right. I'll go to the balcony and talk to them from there. You, down there. Which of you bring charges against this prisoner?
We, the judges of the Sanhedrin, do, Your Honor.
Who is he? And why have you brought him to me?
He is a deceiver called Jesus of Nazareth.
What accusation do ye bring against him?
Your Honor, if he were not a criminal, we would not have brought him before your court of justice. Just sign the death warrant, Your Honor, and we'll leave so you can finish your sleep.
Seems as I remember hearing that this man raised to life someone who had been dead for several days. Before signing anything, I want the charges against him fully stated and proved.
Is not our judgment sufficient, Your Honor?
If it is, why bring him to me? Take him and judge him according to your own laws.
We already have, Your Honor.
What was your sentence?
We found him worthy of death, Your Honor, but it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. Take our word for his guilt, Your Honor, and sign the death warrant. We will take all responsibility.
I will sign nothing until you bring charges against him.
Your Honor, may we have a few moments for consultation amongst ourselves?
No request granted.
We must make it appear Jesus is condemned on a political charge and not religious. But how?
I recall that a few weeks ago, Jesus said something about rendering unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and unto God that which is God's. All we have to do is find someone who will testify that Jesus taught just the opposite of that.
But that would be perjury.
Perjury? As if you minded.
Your Honor! We are ready to continue the trial.
Call your witness.
Take the stand. You know the prisoner?
I do.
Tell His Honor the Governor what he said to you.
Well, sir, the prisoner told many lies about Israel and Rome. He absolutely refuses to pay a tax to Caesar on the grounds that he himself is Christ the King.
Your Honor, may I remind His Honor that the witness, in that one statement, testified to three charges, each of which is worthy of the death sentence. First, the prisoner lied about Rome. Second, He refuses to recognize Caesar as emperor. And last of all, he claims that he is king.
I don't believe that this man, so calm and meek, is guilty of such a charge. It is entirely out of character. I am convinced that this prisoner is guilty only of standing in the way of the ambitions of some of you Israelite dignitaries, including you, Caiaphas.
But, Your Honor, this man...
Quiet! I shall question the prisoner myself. Art thou the king of the Israelites?
Thou sayest it.
Your Honor, I call upon you to witness that the prisoner himself admits to the crime with which he is charged.
Yes, he is guilty.
And he's guilty.
He is a liar.
Lie.
Do you not hear all the charges and vileness they are saying against thee? You stand there and answer them nothing. Do you disregard all this because you do not care to save yourself? You take their insults and mockery without retaliation. They deserve the death sentence, not you. Come with me to the side chamber. I would find out the truth. Of a truth, art thou the king of the Israelites?
Askest thou this of me because you want the truth, or because others testified that I said it?
I am a Roman. Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me for a trial and justice. What hast thou done?
My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, then would my servants fight. But now is my kingdom not from hence.
Art thou a king, then?
Thou sayest, I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that desires to hear the truth heareth my voice.
What is truth? Oh, no, I cannot wait for an answer. The mob outside demands that I give them an immediate decision. Come.
I can't...
Quiet!
Liar!
This prisoner ye have brought to me, I find in him no fault at all.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
The animals came over. The animals came a-walking to the ark that Noah made. The kitty cats came a-walking, a-walking, a-walking. The kitty cats came a-walking to the ark that Noah made. The birdies came a-flying, a-flying, a-flying. The birdies came a-flying. The elephants came a-walking, a-walking, a-walking. The elephants came a-walking to the ark that Noah made. The crocodiles came a-crawling, a-crawling, a-crawling. The crocodiles came a-crawling to the ark that Noah made. The kangaroos came a-hopping, a-hopping, a-hopping. The kangaroos came a-hopping to the ark that Noah made. And the monkeys came a-swinging, a-swinging, a-swinging. And the monkeys came a-swinging to the ark that Noah made. The puppy dogs came a-walking.
figured something out.
Really? What?
Prayer is talking to God.
You figured that out all by yourself, did you?
Let me explain. When you pray, you're talking to God. You know, the creator of the entire universe. The greatest power that exists. No one knows more than God does.
So?
Well, whenever you have a problem, you're supposed to get help. Right?
Right.
Like, if you're sick, you want the best doctor. Right?
Right.
And if your car breaks down, you want the best mechanic. Right?
Right.
And if you're hungry, you want the best cook to fix you food, like my mom. Right?
So,
when you have a problem, a serious problem, like you're worried about something, or scared about something, or someone is mean to you, you want to find the best help there is. That would be God.
Carlos, are you worried about something?
No.
Are you scared about something?
No.
Is someone mean to you?
No.
So why do you need to pray?
I'm just saying that praying is like reminding yourself that there's someone just waiting to help you when you have a serious problem. Like when something bad happens, you can say, "Hey God, I'm your old friend and I have a serious problem." And he's ready to give you some good ideas on how to deal with it.
In other words, praying is like keeping the door to heaven open?
Wow, that's beautiful, Dora.
Hey, I can figure things out too, you know.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He's interested in everything we do and longs to be included in our lives. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Children, children, come and listen. Come and hear of Jesus' love. Children, children, come and see Him. Come and see how Jesus loves. Children, children, come and touch Him. Come and touch our Bible friend.
boys and girls. This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Today's story is Chapter 2, Pearl of Great Price. Even though Ryan wasn't one of the shoebox kids, Chris had no trouble convincing him to come along to church the next day. Ryan had often visited the shoebox, and everyone knew him there. And when Chris suggested they ask the others about buried treasure, Ryan had to be there. But somehow, to Chris, talking about buried treasure at church didn't seem like the right thing to do. Church was for talking about things like God and prayer, not about everyday things like buried treasure. But Ryan didn't think the same way. Before they were even through singing, Ryan was talking full speed about the missing money and about what he would do with his share of the treasure. "Ryan, we're ready to begin our lesson," Mrs. Shue said with a smile. Ryan was ready, too. "Mrs. Shue, does the Bible ever talk about buried treasure?" "Enough, Ryan," whispered Chris. "That's a good question, Ryan," Mrs. Shue picked up her Bible. "As a matter of fact, it talks about treasure in several places. My favorite story is part of our lesson this week. Open your Bibles and turn to Matthew 13, 44 and 45. She read, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." "Cool," said Ryan. "That's what we'll do. We'll find the treasure, then take it in and get the money and buy up all the land it was on." "No, that's not what she read," said Maria, Chris's older sister. "The man found the field, but it belonged to someone else. So he sold everything he had and bought the land where the treasure was buried. That way, the treasure belonged to him." "Why not just take the treasure and forget about buying the land?" Ryan asked. "You're missing the point," Maria said. "Kids, kids, please," Mrs. Shue said. "There's more." She continued reading. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it." "That's dumb," Ryan said. "I don't understand that." "The point is," Mrs. Shue said, "that both these people found something more valuable than anything else they owned. So they sold all their goods, animals, and even their homes to buy this thing that was so valuable." Was Jesus talking about real treasures? Willie Teller asked from his wheelchair in the back row. "Yes, Willie. He was talking about treasure, the treasure of heaven." Mrs. Shue looked over the seven kids in front of her. "How many of you have been baptized?" 4 kids, Willie, Maria, Sammy, and Jenny, raised their hands. "Do you think it was important for you?" They nodded, and Jenny raised her hand. "I think it was the best day ever." "Why?" asked Ryan. "Because you got to go swimming at church?" He snickered, but no one joined him. Chris suddenly felt embarrassed. "No, because I showed everybody that I loved Jesus. I loved him enough to let him save me and take me to heaven with him." Ryan was quiet. Sammy raised his hand. "I got baptized because I wanted to be a church member just like my parents were and my grandparents are." Maria spoke up. "I was baptized because I wanted a new life as a Christian. The pastor told me your sins are buried in the water." Mrs. Shue smiled at their comments. "Very good answers, kids. Baptism is sort of like the pearl of great price. It's only valuable if you see it that way. I'm glad you understand it." "The pastor asked me to tell you that another baptismal class will be starting here in 2 weeks. Chris, Dee Dee, think about joining Pastor Hill if you're interested. Ryan, you're welcome to join the baptismal class, too." Ryan's lip curled up. "No way," he muttered under his breath. "That's dumb." Chris felt his face growing red. Dee Dee spoke up. "I've been wanting to be baptized ever since the others were. Sure, I'll join." She nudged Chris. "How about you, Chris?" Chris wanted to hide. He felt embarrassed by Ryan's actions and didn't know what to say. I don't know." "That's okay," Mrs. Shue said quietly. "You don't have to decide today." The lesson went on, and after a few minutes, Chris and Ryan relaxed and joined in. Before everyone knew it, it was time to join the adults in the sanctuary. "Chris, Ryan, you're welcome to have the shoebox kids over at my house tonight to discuss your treasure hunt if you'd like," Mrs. Shue said as they got up to leave. "I'll make treats." "That sounds like a great idea," Chris said, but inside, he wasn't so sure. Everybody else seemed happy about getting together, but Chris felt confused. How did he feel about baptism? Was it like Mrs. Shue had described it, his pearl of great price? Or did he care more about a treasure buried somewhere in Mill Valley?
The story
story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 1, The Mysterious Treasure Map. It was written by Jerry D. Thomas and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.